We're throwing back to December 30, 1999. George Harrison of the Beatles and his wife Olivia were attacked when an intruder broke into their home. George was stabbed in the chest and treated for a collapsed lung and various stab wounds, with his wife Olivia also being treated for cuts and bruises she had suffered in the struggle with the intruder. Police ended up identifying and arresting Michael Abram from Liverpool, who it's fair to say nursed a pretty irrational obsession with the Beatles. Have a listen to Olivia Harrison detail how it all went down.
I woke up, I just heard smashing of glass. I jumped up, woke up George. It was about, must have been about 4:30 in the morning. And I said, somebody's smashed a window. And he said, how do you know? I said, I heard it. So he jumped up and I ran to the door and I locked the door. And he said, why are you locking the door? I said, why? Because I'm afraid. That's why I'm locking the door. He said, no. I'm going out there. And so he ran downstairs, which he really didn't have to do, but he felt he had to do because my mother was upstairs. We had a statue of St. Michael, and the wing from the statue of St. Michael was made of stone, had been thrown through the window. And George was on one side and I was on the other, and we looked down and this maniac just ran in like a Beelzebub. Anyway, George started chanting really loud at him. This guy was saying, you know, get down here, get down here. What do you want? He said, you know what I want. It was just horrible. It was just like this voice from the bowels of hell. And then he just ran up the tore up the stairs. He was in a florid psychotic state, and he was tall and young. And they'd come closer to where the room was, and this man was on top of George, trying to kill him, just laying on him in just, I think, the worst way to have some, you know, physical contact with some horrible person. Anyway, I just ran back in the room, and I don't know, something just took over, and I grabbed a poker. My dad was a big baseball fan, and he used to always say, follow through. That's all I could think of was, don't throw like a girl. I mean, it got worse. It just got worse because I hit the guy several times. You know, I could see the blood spreading down his blonde hair. And then he got up. You know, he got up and he chased me and had me around the neck. And then George got up and jumped on his back. And poor George, he said, you know, God, just when he got off of me, I was thinking, oh, good. Then I had to get up and fight him again. And he'd already been stabbed. But we all fell into a big pile, and I managed to get out from underneath, and George pinned him down, and George said to me, I've got the knife. And I thought, what knife? You know, I didn't know. I thought he was just kidding. I thought he was just trying to fake the guy out, saying, I've got the knife. It's like, I hadn't seen that. You know, obviously we talked about it a lot, and the next day George said, you know, I was lying there, and I was thinking, I can't believe it. After everything that's happened to me, I'm going to be murdered. I'm being murdered in my own home. And since I'm being murdered and I'm going to die, I better start letting go of this life. And I better start doing what I've been practicing to do my whole life so that I can leave my body the way I want to. I'm so defiant and so determined. Nothing was going to stop him from leaving his body and having leaping as high as he could go.
Think, wow, yeah, I could be dying now. Now, if I was dying now, what would I think? What would I miss? If I had to leave my body, you know, in an hour's time, what is it that I would miss? And I think, well, I've got a son who needs a father, so I have to stick around for him as long as I can, but other than that, I can't think of much reason to be here.